I do want to thank those of you who are able to be with us for the Thanksgiving thing at Thornhill. It's a great time. And one of the reasons those opportunities are so important is a lot of networking happens. Offering came in to re-roof a house. The AMI kids that were there have invited the Shake Note Choir to come do their Shake Note stuff, you know, at the AMI campus. There were unchurched people there who got connected to church people, and I'm using that language because I don't always know if an unchurched person is a raving Jesus fan or not, you know, just hadn't connected to a fellowship or whatever. But there were half a dozen small churches there that were networking, and you know, that just, to me, that's part of what we need to be doing in the kingdom. We're in this together. And we need to build those networks and partnerships to be about what God is doing. I want to just give you one brief exhortation. Can I do that? Is that all right, Adam? Sure, great. I was going to do it anyway. So I'm just going to read one verse from the passage we're going to read from is the closing verses in Hebrews chapter 12. Many people outline Hebrews in this way. Chapter 1 is sort of an intro. It's a prologue. Incredible, one of the most loftiest statements about the majesty of Jesus you will find anywhere. He's greater than Aaron. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the angels. Just stunning descriptions of the majesty and glory and the exalted state of Jesus in the first chapter. And so some people believe that what we're reading now, the conclusion of chapter 12, is actually the final warning or exhortation that began in chapter 2, verse 1. And many people see chapter 13 as simply an appendix to the whole book. And so what I want to do is just to read you one verse from verse 25. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. And then it goes on, and it's using different Greek language, different Greek verbs here to describe how Moses spoke. Moses' name isn't used, but it's assumed, and how Jesus communicated. And, you know, the case is, if what happened at Sinai came through someone like Moses, simply a transmitter of the Word of God, how much more should we take warning and exhortation when the Son of God, who's the very voice of God, speaks? That's kind of the context. And so this is my exhortation to you. Susan, don't we give one exhortation a quarter or something like that? Yeah, that's about right. and it's this. Our God is a communicating God. He simply can't help himself. He has to speak. He has to communicate. So tell me how God speaks. Give me some examples quickly. How does God communicate to humanity? Absolutely. I mean, at the top of the list, God has spoken and continues to speak through his word. If we aren't reading the word and want to hear from God, we're simply fooling ourselves. You've got to get into the text. This is the text that the Holy Spirit is continuing to inspire and make live. And all of you have had experiences as you're reading the Bible, it just seems like, you know, something just comes right off the page. Or you can almost get a finger right in your face and you almost feel like you got a mark on your forehead because it's addressed to you. Oh, did that happen to you, Adam?
No,
this morning. Oh, okay. Well, it does happen. How else does God communicate?
Through his spirit.
All of you, many of you have had experiences where I just felt nudged to call you. Or you pray for somebody and somebody opens their eyes and says, how did you know to pray that way? How did you know I needed this? The Holy Spirit is very, very active. He doesn't take a nap. He doesn't, you know, take downtime. He doesn't go out to lunch. He is always there. He's always there. How else does God speak?
Through creation.
Through creation. Absolutely. You know, some of us have watched the splendor of his... the heavens declare the glory of God. He is giving us a lecture through his very creation. It's stunning. How else?
Prayer.
Really? Hey, it's a two-way street, isn't it? One of our problems is we throw God these darts, arrow prayers, and we don't pause to get his response. How else? What's that? Absolutely. Woo, that's a biggie. You know, if people are made in the image of God, endowed by his spirit, God's going to communicate through them. And all of us have been taught, encouraged, exhorted, and so on. So this is the issue. God is communicating, okay? Is that settled? We don't have to debate that. Don't have to argue. God, the issue is, are we listening? Are we listening? And I want to share with you several stories, and I promise, then we'll close. I want to share you several stories just to sort of get us sensitive in that area. There was a guy who lived in Colorado, up in the mountains, who decided to move to Texas. He goes to Texas, and he builds himself a big house with a big picture window. And, you know, you can look through the window and just see almost hundreds of miles of open range. And he's sitting down in front of his window there, and he says, there's nothing to see. A guy in Texas moves up to Colorado, builds himself a big house, big picture window, and he sits down, and he looks out, and he says, there's nothing to see. The mountains are in the way. You know, it's an issue of what are we looking for? Sometimes what God is showing us is right here. It's right at the tip of our nose. It's staring us in the face. And so sometimes it's just sort of becoming sensitized to that. I want you to do something for a moment. I want you to think of the color red and look around and see if you see any red in the room. Pat Welch has the brightest red. You know, it's a funny thing. If you become color sensitive and you focus on a color, it starts jumping out at you everywhere. Those of you that can remember buying a new vehicle or whatever, you're driving down the road in the new vehicle, and it looks like everybody else had the same idea and got the same model as you did. Sometimes the same color. You see, if you get a mindset of that, you begin to pick it up. And what we need to cultivate is a God mindset. If He is constantly communicating, it's not an issue of His lack of communication. It's our receptors. And so I need a mindset that is open to that. Many of you know the name Chuck Swindoll, popular teacher, writer, seminary president, pastor, and so on. And Chuck Swindoll talks about when when his children were young and he didn't have enough hours in the day and enough days in the week, he was just trying to do too much. And when he would come home, he'd start snapping at his family. Of course, nobody here does that to any family member, but he was oh, somebody does? but he was snapping at his wife, he was snapping at his kids, he was, you know, just swallowing his food whole, and you know that kind of routine. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, when wives laugh, you wonder who they're thinking about.
I'm worried about all these witnesses.
Okay. Well, anyway, Chuck Swindoll was in that kind of a groove, I guess, rut. And he comes home one day, and his daughter, Colleen, was very young. And they were sitting at the table, and his daughter says, "Daddy, I have something to tell you, and I'm going to tell you really quick." Because she was picking up on how rushed he was. And Chuck says, "Well, Colleen, honey, settle down. You can tell me. You know, we got all the time." And Chuck Colson says he'll never, Chuck Swindoll says he'll never forget how his daughter responds. He says, "Okay, Daddy, I will tell you if you will listen slowly." Some of us need to cultivate listening to God slowly. If He's communicating, it's not His lack and desire. It's are we giving Him our attention? Back in the frontier days, a commander was given a new command in one of these forts way out in the boonies. And he's fresh, you know, brand new. And he thought, you know, I need to really connect to the Indian population. And so he invited an Indian chief in, and he's sitting down and having this conversation through an interpreter. And the commander is very nervous. You know, I mean, this is a first command and all this kind of thing. He's not sure how the Indians are going to respond to him. And so he's asking a whole series of questions through the interpreter. And the Indian chief is just sitting there with no response, not saying anything back. And finally, the commander is just getting a bit frantic, and so he turns to his interpreter and says, "Why won't he talk back? Why doesn't he answer any of my questions?" And the interpreter said, "We call this Indian time. He has such a high regard and respect for you. He wants to listen to your questions, and then he'll take time off and reflect on what you've asked. And in the due time, when he has given it adequate time and reflection, he will come back and give you a response. He's doing that out of respect to you. You know, I'm wondering if we, in our relationship to God, need to recover Indian time to where we don't just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and then run off, but we give God time and we have listening ears to hear what He's saying. So my exhortation is this: God's a-speaking. Are we listening? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that the book of Hebrews is about entering in to holy space, entering in to the Holy of Holies, entering in and coming before the throne of grace. But the whole book is kind of a caution. It's a warning. And Lord, I pray that we would not take the privileges and the gifts that You've entrusted to us lightly. That we would remember, even as this text further down declares, You are a consuming fire. Lord, give us a hunger, give us a yearning to really want to hear. That we can live in the know. We've heard You, and we can obey with confidence and boldness. So, Lord, even as the Scripture says so often, give us ears to hear. And we remember the exhortations to the churches in Asia Minor. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And, Lord, we need people who are getting it right. So, Lord, give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's respond to the Lord with our gifts and our offerings.